And welcome back to the Fantasy Footy Brains podcast. I'm Daniel and I'm joined by Josh, and we're here to cover everything leading up to the round three game week. Josh, mate, how'd you go for round two?
Yeah, good, mate. A little bit of a bounce back to the pack, which was nice. Still not a great rank, but
yeah,
I mean, within the first 100K now, which is, you know, it's nicer than it was before.
Yeah, I was a bit, very disappointed last week, but looking back at my rank this week, you know, around the 40,000 mark, I'm clawing them back in the tens of thousands, which is kind of nice. But it was good to see just some actual normal scores from, you know, the likes of Hines and Cleary and, you know, Pappenhausen, obviously coming back to where we were hoping. So finally, the players that we actually bought.
For the
yeah.
People who kept them in.
Yep. Yep. Rub that in my face while you're at it. Cool. anyway, we'll get into all that stuff. In the team list, but before we get to that, I might just get your take on Galvin. Pretty big cashy coming in for the Tigers. How'd you find his performance in round two?
Yeah, it looked really good. Electric, had some line breaks in there. I really rate him. It was kind of a funny press conference. If you listen to it, Benji Marshall kind of wasn't giving much away. I was like, oh yeah, like he went all right. But when I watched the highlights and kind of dug deep into the game, I was like, dude, he was like the best player on the field for them almost. So I'm keen for it, mate. I think he's pretty close to a must-have this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to bring him up at the top of the show just because of how good he actually was. Like, he is a shining light for the Tigers, and the fact that, they're playing him and Benji was happy to play him for their first game of the season shows that, you know, there's some potential there. It's just whether they actually can kind of, I guess, harness that for the rest of the season. So we'll see how they kind of pan out over the next couple of weeks, really.
For sure, yeah.
Righto, let's move to our first game, which is the Thursday night game, seeing the Panthers take on the Broncos. Pretty big game, except for the fact that there is no Adam Reynolds for the Broncos, and their spine is Walsh, Mam, and Madden, which is pretty interesting. Looking over at the Panthers, we've got Fisher Harris out with a shoulder injury, which sees Lindsay Smith named in the front row, and Dane Laurie named at number 14 with Luke listed 18th man. Pretty interesting teams. I mean, from a fantasy point of view, there's not really much here other than Tungor going, you know, huge last week. Had an absolutely monster game and kind of bounced back from the pretty average game that he had round one. What do you make of this Panthers team?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, you covered it, mate. Nothing too crazy here. I've seen a little bit of chat, I guess, out there about Cleary. He's had a few down scores. I guess for anyone out there, and I hope you're on the same page, he's a hold for you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Not going anywhere.
Yeah, not going anywhere. I like it. And then, I don't know, the only other thing, mate, is just Yo has been unreal. Like, yeah. He's been, I know we're kind of thinking at the start of the season, like, who's going to be the best out of that top, at least top three. I kind of see it in Haas and Johan Hopgood, and he's been the winner so far. He's looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's Mr. Consistent, Isaiah Yeo. You know he's going to give you a 60 to 70 pretty much every week as long as he plays 80 minutes on the field. Two 70s in a row. I mean, it's pretty good from him. I didn't really expect anything less, to be honest. Like, he's always going to be scoring that well. As long as he's in the team. So, yeah, you can't really go wrong with him at the moment, but I don't think you're trying to pick him up now. He's just way too expensive. Like, unless you started with him, like, that's great, but you can't really go to him until he drops a bit of cash or towards the back end of the season when your team's, you know, made a lot of cash and you're looking to get these guns in.
Yeah, I agree.
And looking to the Broncos, I mean, not really too much to report. Pia Cora bounced back with a 40, which is good after his big donut from round one. But Jock Madden, not really looking anywhere near him at the moment. Tony Staggs had a pretty good game last round, but I wouldn't go there. He's just, you know, up and down, so it's a bit hard to judge.
Yeah, I think so, mate. Madden isn't really an option. He's 525K, which is just, yeah, way too expensive. My only thing that I'm kind of curious in this game, is this the time for people to jump off Jesse Arthurs and try and upgrade him? Had kind of he scored 28 last week. I don't know, man, against the Panthers this week as well. I can just see this being a single-digit Jesse Arthurs score week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we did call it round one. We were like, oh, that's a bit strange that he's done so well without a ton of attacking stats. Like, you know, the 190 meters gained was pretty good stat. But last round, you know, scored a try and still only managed 28. So more glimpses of what we thought Arthur's was going to be last round. So, you know, his break even's 18. It's potentially there for him to get, but I think it's looking less likely that he's going to be hitting that this week against the Panthers. I think you wouldn't sell him this round, but most likely he's going to be looking like a sell next round if you had him. But we'll see how that pans out, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think he's a desperate sell, but he's a luxury sell. If you can go up to a Turbo or someone else like that this week from Jesse Arthurs, that'd be a huge move, I think.
Yeah, watch him come out now and score like a hat trick or something now that we've called him out, for sure. Actually, one thing, I guess Cobbo is a bit of a talking point. Looked fantastic last week against the Rabbits. I mean, 600K, pretty luxury center, but had, you know, two line breaks, eight tackle busts, plenty of meters. Looked very good.
Yeah, looked pretty good. He has these kind of spike games, and I guess now he's getting the ball more at the centers. He did look really dangerous. I think I want to see it one more week before I buy into it. Maybe he's one of these guys like Maltalo. If you get on him when he's having a good run like he is now, he could make a heap of cash for you. But I don't know. I want to give it probably one more week with him.
Yeah, 600K is quite steep for a center that's unproven yet. But he did look very good. So definitely one to keep an eye on. And moving on to the first Friday night game, which sees the Warriors take on the Raiders. Raiders pretty much walked straight over the Tigers like we thought they would. And the Warriors were just unlucky again against the Storm. What a game. Yeah. Actually, just touching on that Storm game, how good's Xavier Coates? I mean, from a non-fantasy point of view, just incredible. That last 3 minutes was just, yeah, crazy game for a round two matchup for sure.
Yeah, that was great. He'd dive pretty much like the 10-meter line for that last try. That was insane.
Yeah, and it was good to see. Good to see Pappenhausen, like I said at the top of the show, just back amongst
Apple
the points.
And balls.
Yep, excellent. Righto, touching on the Warriors team. Wade Egan is named at number 9 after being a late withdrawal last week. And, yeah, I guess Chance and Niokore still nowhere to be seen in this team. Probably still coming back over the next week or two. Warriors, just been unlucky over the last couple of weeks. But in terms of fantasy potential, what are you looking at here?
Nothing too much to report on. I think Tuipeke gets another week, which is really nice for those who have him. Looks like Chance is going to be back next week, but we'll see how that all goes. He could be out longer. There's been some kind of rumors of that. The one I'm kind of curious on, mate, is Sean Johnson. He had a pretty average score on the weekend, 27, dropped 42K. He's got a 78 break even there as well. Is he someone you'd probably sell on at this point, or are you going to hold him?
Oh, I think if you've invested the money in Johnson, he's probably just he's similar to the other halves. He's a season-long hold, right? Because he's going to play Origin, and you wouldn't really want to trade him out now just to look to trade him back in later. Right, I think if I had him, I'm probably just holding and hoping.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm kind of the same. If you didn't have a Cleary or Hines, I'd be tempted to move up to one of them. But even they're not going that great either.
Yeah.
Well, Hines had a really good score, I'll take that back. But yeah, I think probably holding as well if I was a Johnson owner.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their run, and yeah, there's a couple of difficult games in like the Rabbitohs and probably Manly. I mean, they're probably the hardest ones over the next stretch. They've got the Raiders, the Knights, they've got the Dragons and Titans in there. So, I mean, there is points to be had there. So I wouldn't be letting him go just yet.
No goal kicking, though. A bit of a concern. For no, I don't know why he didn't take the goal kicking this week, but that was
well, he started goal kicking, didn't he? Didn't he start goal kicking? Then Metcalf took over. Something happened there.
Something happened. I just thought he wasn't kicking at all. But you might be right about that, mate. I'm not sure. Yeah, it just seems a bit strange. And that's, I don't know, for SJ as well. That's, I don't know, 8 to 10 points he's leaving on the table each week.
Yeah.
If he's not goal kicking.
Yeah, not wrong. Might be some concerns there, but I still think like he'll come back to, you know, typical SJ fashion of last year, I think. Just this Warriors team, it looks like a top four. Even though they're 0-2, they look like a top four team for sure.
Yeah, two pretty high games, Sharks and Storm first up, to be fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see a bounce back pretty quickly from them. Could be this week against the Raiders, to be fair. And for the Raiders, the only change is Sebastian Chris is out and Elliot Whitehead is in. So Whitehead is named to start, which sees Zach Hosking move back to the bench. Kotrick is recalled on the wing with Hopewadi moving to the centres. Unlucky for Hosking after the probably best 2 weeks he could have had for the Raiders. I don't think he could have done anything better, but, you know, they're not going to drop their captain in Whitehead, so moves straight back to the bench for him, unfortunately. And Kotrick, yeah, nice to have him back. Could have used him last week, but, yeah, back nonetheless.
Yeah, the way it goes. Now we've got Kinnear and Kotrick back this week. I guess it has been helpful for me. We've got Bostock on the bye this week, but, yeah, we should get another price rise, hopefully, out of Kotrick this week. And it looks like it's just a one-week play with Seb Chris head knock, but we'll see a break-even of 16. Hopefully he hits that this week.
Yeah, let's hope. But I guess the big one for the Raiders currently, outside of Smithies, of course, is Jamal Fogarty. Two scores in the high 50s. Looks the goods. Tons of kicking. 500-plus metres. Well, what do you get? Just under 500 in round two and just under 800 in round one. Plenty of base stats and goal kicking. Do you think he's a... Like, for the people that don't have him, because he is quite highly owned, like 11% is pretty common. Do you think he's a must jump on at 670K?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I just think there's other guys probably in the price bracket that I have like a bit more of an upside that I'd probably prefer. Like, I don't know, guys, even your Mitch Moseses and Dylan Browns, your Jerome Hugheses, guys that can probably hit like an 80 plus. I'm not sure if Fogarty can hit that. He can hit kind of that consistent 50-60s, but I don't know. I think for me, I want something with like a bit more upside and I don't know, more exciting to watch than just Jamal Fogarty kicking 500 meters.
That is fair. I'm definitely watching the slide of Mitch Moses very carefully, especially because he's got that groin niggle at the moment, so he isn't kicking as much. So yeah, definitely watching with interest because he's only 60K higher than Fogarty currently. 730K. So yeah, definitely watching with a lot of interest there because Moses will be a pretty big play, I think, in the next maybe month if he keeps sliding.
Yeah, I will say, I didn't mean to sound like super anti-Fogarty. Like, I think he's a pretty good option. Has the goal kicks. He's kind of done it in two different ways, too. Like, he got heaps of goal kicks this week and heaps of kick meters the week before. So he's going to be probably one of the more consistent players this year and just bang out those 50 to 60s each week.
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got him, he's just going to keep ticking along, making cash for you. So there's no reason to jump off him anytime soon. And I guess Morgan Smithies as well. A lot of people jumped on him last week because of his big score, 50 odd score there at lock. Backed it up with a 46, but we've got Big Red coming back in next week, I think, is his suspension over, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
So do you think he just comes straight back in at lock, or do you think they might rotate him through the forward pack instead?
I actually think that they're going to rotate Big Red through the front row rotation and keep Smithies. But I'm not super confident in it because it's Ricky Stewart. Who knows what's
good point.
You know what he's going to do. Like, he could drop Smithies. But he did say in the press conference that, I don't know, he seems to be a big fan of Smithies and likes his work there. And he did mention he'd potentially just rotate Big Red through the front row in the press conference at the end of the week. So if he stays true to his word, Ricky, but I think at this point you've kind of missed the boat probably with Smithies. And you're probably at this point just going to wait to see what happens with Big Red before you make any decisions with him.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that there's going to be a lot of rotation with the locks and edges and forward pack here at the Raiders when Horsburgh comes back, just because they can all kind of play in multiple different roles. Like Smithies played it most of the time on the edge in the Super League. So I just feel like, you know, Big Red's probably going to come on through the middle for a little bit. Then he's going to move to lock and just tackle, maybe even then move Hosking into the middle and might play a bit of edge when Whitehead's off the field. Like, I've just got a feeling that they're just going to keep rotating players around the forward pack as they get tired and just shift them where they need to be, the Raiders. So it's going to be hard to kind of predict minutes and regular scores for these bench forwards and, yeah, guys that'll be rotating like Smithies.
I think, too, like, if you look at his minutes the last 2 weeks, 68 and 80, I would be shocked if he's playing that many minutes when you've got, like, Big Red that you can put in over him, for example. Or
yeah, can also play 80. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Probably one to avoid, but I guess if you have him, you're just holding him and waiting and going to see what happens in round four. Also, Denny Levi. 2 tries in 2 weeks, but barely scraping a 30. What is going on? I'm very disappointed.
Yeah, 13 break even this week, so he should see another price rise. Is that going to be a, like, $1,000 price rise? Probably. He's got 26 with the try in both. Well, he got a 26 last week, with the try. He just, he's getting the minutes. Just doesn't have the PPM, mate. Like, he's a pretty tough watch. I think he's just a hold. Hopefully he gets like a 40 or something this week and kind of boost it another one or two price rises, and then we can make moves. Or if you've got the funds to go up to a Lusick this week, it's a pretty appealing trade.
Yeah, I'm not too confident on Levi at all. I've got a feeling this week's probably going to be his last week of price rises and he's going to have to be cut next week. So, yeah, very unfortunate. Especially against a Warriors team that, you know, can break tackles. So it's going to be one to probably cut out of your team next round for sure. Keep an eye on him. And moving to the other Friday night game, we've got the Roosters taking on the Rabbitohs with plenty of news out of this Roosters team. So Luke Keary is obviously out with his concussion. So Sandon Smith is named in the halves. Siu Wong has just been dropped to the reserves. So Nat Butcher comes into the starting side and they add Angus Crichton to the bench. Connor Watson also moves onto the bench and Warrior Hargreaves is now starting in place of Terrell May, who's moved back to the bench as well. Plenty of changes here for the Roosters. And one of our favourite cash cows in Siu Wong dropping to the reserves. I'm not even going to ask you a question. Just, make of that what you will.
A bit going on, isn't there, mate? I guess there was probably a couple folks like myself this week who were tossing up, whether you trade out Tupanu or whether you trade out Siu Wong this week. This team list has made the choice very easy. Siu Wong's been named on the reserve, so I think hold with Tupanu and hopes he gets these minutes now. Angus Crichton there on the bench and Connor Watson on the bench. Some new faces. It's going to be interesting to see how they go. Kind of previous fantasy guns in the past, so there's always a bit of interest there. But I don't even know what they're priced at, but probably you're not even considering them are going to give them a week either way. And then probably the big talking point, well, at least for those who didn't jump on last week, is Terrell May, who was unreal last week, made heaps of points. He's starting again on the bench, but he was a late switch to the starting lineup this week. I personally wouldn't be surprised if we see it again. I guess, mate, what are your warmthness levels on Terrell May? Is he a must-have? Yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I am. I'm burning hot on Terrell May. He just gets the minutes, right? Like he starts, he gets 57 minutes. He was off the bench last week and he got 56 minutes. Yes, with a couple of injuries, but I think Robbo wants to play him more and more. And yeah, I think you can't really go wrong at his price point, especially if he's, even if he is only getting 45, 50, say he loses 5, 10 minutes, he's still going to be getting you 50 pretty much every week. So yeah, I think Terrell May is a pretty safe buy at the moment and looks bloody good when he's on the field. So yeah, get him in.
Lock him in. Yeah, I'm in agreement. And he's kind of like the ultimate buy at this point of the year because he has been scoring well. So he shores up an extra position so you don't have to play like a Jamin Salmon or one of these kind of guys this week potentially. And then also he's going to make it a heap more cash too. So yeah, I like it, mate.
Yeah, I think for you were touching on Watson and Crichton, they're both at around the 500K mark. I mean, they're just going to be waits and sees just to see what what pans out for them. I just don't see Crichton getting a ton of minutes. Now that he's back in the team, I'm assuming he's probably going to get maybe 15, 20 off the bench. Connor Watson will, you know, spell Brandon Smith and maybe spell Victor Radley here and there. So, yeah, I don't see them getting over 40 minutes, most likely, but we'll see how it pans out and what Robbo does.
Yeah, I think so. I think both of them probably need an injury to, like an injury to someone, one of the starters, to probably make their way into relevance.
Yeah, fair. Any love for Sandon Smith?
Interesting. I did have a look at him. He's 332K.
I mean, he's not going to have the kicking because Walker's going to do all that, right?
It's just interesting because we don't know how long Kiri's going to be out for. Like, he's had a bad history, obviously, with concussions previously, where he sat out months at a time, which obviously we hope isn't the case. But I guess if you knew that now, if you knew Sandon Smith has an extended run in this team at 332K, you could see him getting up to around the kind of 500s where he was at points last year if he's got an extended run there.
Yeah, but I think you're right. Probably for now, it's just a wait and see, really, to see what happens with Kiri.
He had his crystal ball right now.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all speculation. And with the Rabbitohs, it's just Dean Hawkins in for Lachie Ilias, who has been dropped or... Oh, he's moved to the reserves, but yeah, pretty much dropped. So
I think he's been dropped, yeah.
Yeah, biggest change. Obviously, Jack Whiten is in the centres as well. So what's that? What's moved there? Richie Kennar is out and Tane Milne holds that wing spot and no sign of Gagai, which we were pretty right about. Last week.
He dropped
out
late last week,
yeah,
which is a real shame for owners.
Yep. You know who is in the team, though? The starting lineup. Our favourite player, Jacob Host.
Jacob Host, yes. I was going to say, mate, should we bring him in this week or wait until the week before Origin?
Yeah, probably wait till Origin, I reckon, on him. But yeah, definitely keep an eye. What are you thinking about Dean Hawkins here? It seems like... they just can't make up their mind, I think, who's going to be the dominant half here between Hawkins. Obviously, Hawkins had a pretty big season last year in New South Wales Cup, Player of the Year. But Lachie Ilias has been, their incumbent for... Well, he's been there as the player for the last 2 years, and he was the incumbent before Reynolds left. So, yeah, it's hard to see what Hawkins' longevity in this role is like.
I didn't know that about the New South Wales Cup, mate. That's interesting to know, but... yeah, he's just kind of an awkward price as well. He's 419. If he was starting a bit lower, I think it'd be a consideration potentially. But at 419, there's other guys like Galvin or even Marsh from the... Marshke from the Dragons, who I think are really interesting too, which are probably better buyers at this point.
Yeah, fair play. Enough Rabbitohs chat. Latrell Siligun. Oh, any interest in Whiten, actually, I guess, because it's his first game in the centres. Won't have dual position until round 6, I think it is. But yeah, 530K centre. Break even 38.
Yeah, not really.
Bit of a yikes. Awkward price.
I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps that value or even gets around to the 600 mark, but I probably want to see it before I'm even considering.
Yeah, fair. Also, I didn't even notice Mo'ali's moved into the front row as well, off the bench, straight into the starting lineup. I still don't see him getting big minutes, though, there. Kepi's moved back to the bench, yeah.
I guess it's maybe worth explaining what happened last week to folks who maybe missed it as well, because Cam Murray ended up moving to pretty much play edge the whole game with Talis Duncan started on the bench, right?
Yeah.
So, and then Shaq Mitchell started lock. So it was just like a weird and not at all what the team list said, I guess, the game. Because I think a few of us, we talked a little bit about Talis Duncan last week. But he didn't get named to start there and then ended up playing for like 20, 30 minutes in the end. And then this week he's on the bench and Host gets his spot. So I don't think, you know, we're kind of interested in Talis Duncan, but I think line through him at this point.
Yeah, agreed. One to watch though, as he slides back a bit in price. But I just don't see him coming into this team and taking up a big role like he did at the back end of last year.
I think so too, because it was kind of a result of injuries and stuff with Shaq Mitchell, and there was a few other guys out. But
yeah,
I think he's just a watch.
Yeah, fair. And moving on to our Saturday games, Bulldogs taking on the Titans. For the Bulldogs, Poasa Faamasili is out and replaced by Liam Knight, who is straight into the starting lineup. Pretty much a one for one there. Oh, I guess for this Dogs team, what do you think about Liam Knight? Do you reckon he's probably going to just get the same minutes as Poasa was? Like, I don't see him probably doing any better than that.
I'll be honest, man. I missed this when I was flicking through it a bit. Yeah, Liam Knight. He was one that was in and out of my team a lot during the preseason.
Yeah, because we'd kind of assumed that he was going to get that spot just because they didn't really have another big front rower until they named Poasa there. But, like, Faamasili was only getting 20-odd minutes in the last two games anyway, before he got, well, I say last two games, he got knocked out pretty much straight away at the start of this second round game. So probably not for Knight. I think it's probably a wait and see, really.
Yeah, I think the fact that he's getting beaten out by guys like Sam Hughes and Poasa probably indicates that Liam Knight's best days are probably behind him. He was like a fantasy gun way back when, but... And I think there's probably a few of us who are kind of like holding out for that to happen again. But yeah, I think he's an avoid.
Yeah. I mean, still a chance. Against a team like the Titans, there's still a chance that he comes out and he has a good game.
Yeah.
But you're not going to take the gamble on him from, day one. Yeah. Especially when you watch the trial games, he dropped the ball like three or four times in 20 minutes. So yeah, definitely going to be avoiding for now. I guess... Other talking points from these Dogs, Drew Hutchinson, he's had a bit of a rough run, looking like a sell.
Yeah, I think so. If you can upgrade him to somebody else, I think it's probably time to upgrade or downgrade with him. He hasn't really set the world alight.
Yeah. I think you could maybe hold him for one more game here just to see how it pans out, because his break-even is only 27. But yeah, I think you're going to be jumping off him pretty soon. Anyway, so yeah, probably another one to look for a replacement for soon. And Jamin Semin
versus Titans this week. You know, this is probably the good test. If Drew Hutchinson can't turn on against the Titans this week, I think it's definitely line through.
Yeah, absolutely. Same with Jamin Semin probably as well. He's getting decent minutes, but just not really getting the scores. Plenty of base stats, but nothing in attack. No meters.
Jamin Semin, I'm willing to give a bit more of a rope to, I guess, because he's had a few weird, there's been like some injuries in the pack and stuff. He's been played out of position a little bit. I haven't kind of had an injury free game in the forwards yet, so be interesting this week, see if they kind of remain injury free, see what his kind of real role is. But yeah, getting what 30s isn't probably what you would have liked to see from him.
Yeah I guess if you did pick up Sam Hughes, though, he's kind of ticking along nicely, you know, high 20s kind of scores, making a bit of cash from the bench, just hoping he gets more minutes into the future.
Exactly, yeah, plodding.
And for the Titans, I mean, they didn't really have a game last week, but Kinney, we're just hoping, kind of bounces back, especially if you held on to him and didn't sell him off last week, hoping for a bounce back here, especially against a Dogs team that's, you know, leaking points, really.
They didn't really have a game last week?
No, they definitely didn't, sorry. They didn't have a game last week.
That would be interesting there. The Titans, they go play a reserve grade or something for the week, get fresh.
That would be very interesting if they could do that in Queensland Cup, chuck them all in. yeah, I guess from this team, how do you kind of judge them, really? The Palacia didn't really turn out at lock. He's been moved back to the bench. Jolliffe comes in at lock, which is kind of an interesting one for me. I think Jolliffe was kind of a player that I considered in the past, but he just kind of needed more game time because he's quite a high PPM player. If he gets 40 plus minutes, do you think he's not a bad shout? Good draft pick, I think. Yeah,
probably a good draft pick as well. Yeah, I think, this team is kind of interesting. I guess Desi's taken over. We all kind of thought Tino would probably get that lock role. But he's in the front row with Mofo. Yeah, he could be a huge shout here, Jolliffe, to be fair, if he's getting consistent 45 kind of plus minutes.
Yeah, it just kind of depends how they rotate this bench, because they could kind of play anywhere. Chris Randle has played front row for the Titans before. He's playing hooker now. Then you got Verrills. Yeah, exactly. So Aaron they Clark can kind of
13. I don't know.
Yeah, Isaac they can Lewis rotate anyone. 13. So what do you? Yeah, you can't really take anything from it at the moment. You just kind of got to give it a couple of weeks, see how it all pans out, and then go from there. I think if you did pick up Tino, he's probably just a hold. Right, like obviously you've invested a decent amount of cash into him, and he's gonna probably just be a season long hold at this point, right?
Yeah, I think so, mate. 49 in the first week—that's kind of not what you'd hope for, but I think you could see him bouncing terrible back hopefully this week. Yeah,
yeah,
hopefully getting 65 plus.
Yep. Moving to the next game, Dragons and Cowboys. For the Dragons, Little is out, replaced by Marshke at number 9, with Mollison still at number 14 on the bench. Francis Molo drops out as well. Blake Laurie starting in the front row. And Viliami Fifita has regained his spot on the bench. Eisenhuth moves to lock, which he has actually played for the last two rounds in a row, even after being named it in the back row. So good to see Eisenhuth actually getting named in that spot. And Luciano Leilua starting on an edge where Eisenhuth was. I think this is probably the strongest, well, outside of Little not being in the team, this is probably the best team I think the Dragons can field with the players they have at the moment. What do you reckon?
Yeah, probably pretty close, mate. Especially, we'll see if, you know, Blake Laurie kind of gets through some more minutes this week and things like that as well. I guess no Frank Molo still in this team. I probably think he's in that top 17, but...
Yeah, I think he's suspended.
He's suspended.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it looks pretty full strength to me, mate, I reckon. And I don't know, I'm looking at this list. One guy that really interests me is Marshke, or however you spell his or pronounce his name, yep. With no Little here in the team. He's basement price. If he's getting, you know, 40 plus minutes in this starting pack for the Dragons here, I reckon he's a decent shout. Well, he should be getting more than 40 plus, but he should be getting like kind of 55, 60, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm just not sure, I guess, what we're going to get from him, really. Like, are we going to get 60 plus minutes from him and then Mollison takes the other 20, or like... Yeah, how's it going to pan out? Is he going to be one of those hookers that, like Reed Marnie, just darts out of the line and puts a hit on and misses a tackle? Or is he actually going to stay consistent? So I think I'd give him a week, kind of like a lot of people did with Galvin. Yeah. And then just see what happens from there. Little could just come straight back into the team as well next week. You don't know. Because he's only out for a concussion, I think, Jacob Little.
Oh, really? Okay. That changes things. I thought Little had been dropped.
Yeah, he had a head knock. I don't think he came off for the concussion, but he did have a head knock, and I think they put him through concussion protocols after the game, but I can't remember, to be honest. It was the last game of the week, and I didn't really pay that much attention to it.
I'll look it up now. Jacob Little passed his HIA.
Right.
So he's probably dropped then, it seems.
Interesting. But yeah, I'd still give him a week anyway, just to see what happens. And for the Cowboys, big news in Helam Lukey doing that ankle injury. He'll miss the next 6 to 8 weeks, with Finifuiaki coming into the starting team and Jack Gajewski being named on the bench. Finifuiaki, probably by the week.
I guess probably third after May and Galvin for me, but if you have those two, I would be, seriously considering this week.
Yeah, 6 weeks, under 300K, you know, probably going to get 60-odd minutes at least, you'd say, and then Gajewski would spell him in between. Seems pretty safe to me. I could see him probably getting, you know, 35s to 40s, and then with some attacking stats, 40-plus each week.
Yeah, I'm interested in him for sure. He's got a break even of 8. He got that 38 last week when he filled in for Lukey after the injury, coming in on the second half. There is like a little bit of concern with me for him just in that like the Cowboys usually don't play him big minutes. Like he's usually that impact player But I think because they've named him starting here, he should be at least, yeah, majority of that time in the starting role. And I guess maybe, I don't think he plays 80 with Goz there on the bench, but
yeah.
I think he plays enough probably to stay relevant in your team and probably be like your someone you can loop in, hopefully, and you can be kind of deciding between him and maybe like a Josh Chan or a Salmon and those kind of players.
Yeah, fair. And moving to the Tigers and Sharks game, which is the final game on the Saturday. For the Tigers, Stafford Toa is out with his injury, and I think that's a long-term one for him as well. I think it's syndesmosis. Well. Yep. Yeah. So Fatapi holds his spot, and Justin Olam comes in. Lachlan Galvin holds his spot in the halves, and we see Aiden Caesar come in at halfback and Sullivan move back to the bench. Seyfarth also moves back to the bench with Fanua Pole starting at lock. For this Tigers team, I guess a lot of love for Olam preseason. Do you have any love for him now? Like, do you think he's worth bringing in the 375k?
Oh, I guess I didn't realize he was that cheap. But I don't know, mate. Like, I think at this point, there's probably bigger buys you got on the table. You've got guys like Finifuyaki. Maybe give Olam a week, see what he does, but probably not one that I'm looking at to bring straight in.
Yeah, fair. And I'm not really interested too much by any of these other Tigers at the moment. Bateman had a pretty rough week. The only players that really did well were Coruscant and Papali'i. And I think Coruscant was kind of on the radar for a lot of people, especially because he was sub 600k or he's around the 600k mark before this game. So yeah, scored a try, had plenty of attacking stats. Not a terrible buy, but he's not going to score a try each week, I guess, is the main thing.
I think so, yeah. Really good first week for him, but I don't know. He's, yeah, got a good first week, but probably still a wait and see.
Yeah, fair. If you've got him, just ride those price rises while you've got him, and, yeah, everyone else just keep an eye. For the Sharks, Nico Hines had a pretty big game, which is good.
One more thing on the Tigers.
Okay.
Lachlan Galvin, are we 100% locked in on him?
Yeah, I don't even think we need to talk too much about him anymore because I'm pretty confident he's going to hold that spot. By the way he played, I'm pretty confident that he is the locked and loaded half for Benji for the foreseeable future until he has, you know, a couple slip-ups here and there.
If you're in a situation, for example, where you're going to get Lachlan Galvin this week, but you're kind of in a two downgrade situation or you've got like heaps of cash, would you still be willing to get Lachlan Galvin and kind of like bank that extra cash for this week for a big spend next week, if you understand what I'm saying? Like, I think a lot of people might get left in the situation. They might want Finifuyaki and Galvin this week, but it'll leave them with heaps of cash to kind of spend next week. Is that an okay strategy?
I honestly don't hate that because it kind of leaves you open to bank a bit of cash and maybe go up to a Hines next week if you have like a Fogarty type or something like that. Or even if you're, you know, carrying some other guys like a Tupanua or a Salmon or someone like that, you can even sell them off to get even more cash. Because Hines is coming down pretty quickly. He was a mil. He's probably going to be 950-odd after this round, so he's not a bad buy if you can get that much cash in. Well, it depends who you're selling, of course. But if you're selling the guys like Lukey and Wong and you're going down to Galvin and... Galvin and... Yeah, Finifuyaki. You're probably banking about 400k there, so... You can kind of trade to get up to some big guns next week for sure. Because there's still a lot coming down. Even Mitch Moses, like we're saying, he's sliding at the moment. There's plenty of players. Harry Grant as well, he's coming down a bit. You just got to kind of keep an eye out and see what players you can afford in the coming weeks for sure.
All right, nice.
I don't hate it for sure. Like Finifuyaki is going to get you close to a 40 this week. Galvin will probably get you 30-odd. I think he had a very good week. Like he didn't miss a single tackle against the Raiders, who are a very big pack. Which is very surprising that they didn't target him. Like, that's very impressive. So, yeah.
Nice. Not a bad shout. Steal your bloody thunder with you. I was just like, I feel like we see a lot of teams where people are kind of scared to do that, where they bank a whole heap of cash in 1 week, but I think it's a fine strategy to do it.
Yeah. There will be players to spend that cash on for sure next week.
Yeah.
There always is. Where was I? Sharks. Hines bounced back with a 77. Pretty good captaincy option. You're welcome, by the way. Follow the Insta for our captaincy options every week. What else do we have? Nikora, he is out suspended for the high shot on kick out. So Jack Williams comes into the back row and Billy Burns is added to the bench. That is all for the Sharks. Not a ton of fantasy relevant options. I guess most of the talking points will be around McInnes here. What do you reckon? Is he a hold, sell? What do you kind of see with him? Because his minutes just can't. Yeah, he's just not there with minutes, sorry, at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's probably looking like a sell, isn't he? Which, you know, I'm a big Cam McInnes believer usually, but I guess 48 and 48 minutes, his PPM's there.
Yeah.
I don't think he's like an immediate sell. He's not like really killing you, but probably one you're looking to move on in the next coming weeks when you got better options.
If people are considering McInnes to May this week, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's probably... Because
that saves you cash as well.
Yeah, make you a bit of cash. Well, that probably makes you like close to 100K.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good shout, to be fair.
It's just so hard. Like, he's got so many bench forwards. Like, Dal Finucane is always taking those minutes. Royce Hunt and Hazelton as well. Yeah, Jack Williams also rotates through, can rotate through lock. So, yeah, I just think there's too big of a pack for McInnes. Finucane needs to be completely out of this team, basically, for McInnes to thrive, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I agree with that, mate.
Righto, moving on to the Sunday games. Parramatta taking on Manly, which is always a game with plenty of points in it. For Parramatta, Simonson is out with Morgan Harper moving to the wing and Blaise Talangi jumping in at centre. Lussick is the sole hooker named in this team, with Brendan Hands dropping back to the reserves and Luca Moretti being added to the bench. Huge news for Joey Lussick, especially if you picked up Joey Lussick to start the season. We were saying just to stay completely off him, but looks like Lussick has won this role and, yeah, should be seeing 50s pretty much for the foreseeable future, right?
Yeah, I think he's one of the buys of the week as well. He looked pretty good, 61 last week. He's going to have a lowish break-even that he'll be able to hit this week as well. So I think especially if you've got someone like Grant as well, who's going to be on the bye next week, and you don't have another backup hooker, and or you might be rolling with like a Danny Levi or something like that. Yeah, getting Joey Lussick, break even of 12, he's going to make you cash and be a pretty good option for you moving forward.
Yeah, Lussick, plenty of cash there to make, probably another 100-150k easy to make over the next couple of weeks as long as Hand stays out of the team. But he's definitely the big winner here. What about Talangi in the centres? I don't think he's in fantasy yet.
He's not in fantasy yet. So.
Yeah, but he'll probably be basement price. I don't think... Oh, actually, I think he played maybe one or two games already in the past. I just can't remember. Maybe not. Then. Anyway, he should be 230, 250K. And Simonson, he had a pretty big hit, so he might be out for... Well, I don't think he'll be out for too long. Like, it's only concussion concerns, but, you know, is there potential there for Talangi?
Nah, I don't think so. Well, I guess there is always potential, like if Simonson's out long term, but I think he's a pretty risky one. Job security issues could be a kind of one week in, one week out thing with him.
Yep. Yeah, fair. Probably not one to consider at the moment. And for Manly, Tommy Talau has actually been listed amongst the reserves after rolling his ankle pretty bad, coming down on it pretty bad last week. So Vega is named to start on the wing in place of him. Schuster's still nowhere to be seen as well. I think he has been named amongst the team for New South Wales Cup. So Burbo maintains that role on an edge, which is excellent for all fantasy coaches out there. Much to talk about here for the Manly team. I mean, we already know Burbo is going to keep making cash. Turbo's still ticking along nicely if you started with him. I guess Olakuatu has been just killing it for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But not too much.
Really good.
Yeah. Actually, Garrick was probably the surprise pack for me. Only scored like a 30 odd this week, but the week before scoring 68 went huge in Vegas. So surprising there. But I mean, I wouldn't be going him in. Great draft pick, not in Classic, though.
I think so, mate. The one I was kind of a little bit shocked to see look so good was Tommy Talau. He looked really good in his time, scored a try.
Yep.
But with that, I guess it's encouraging to see him here on the reserves. I think there was probably some concern he'd done a syndesmosis as well, but has seemed to avoid that with being named on the extended bench. So hopefully he's back next week. Then I'd be pretty seriously considering him for, I guess we'll have probably another 4 weeks left or 3 weeks left from
if he's back in next week.
Back.
Yep.
Yeah, which that's interesting to me. I think that's potentially enough to get him some value.
Yeah, to be honest, didn't think too much of him. Like, I thought he was a good, you know, downgrade option if you try to make some cash to get May last week. But I didn't expect him to come out and score as well as he did. I guess you take a player out of the Tigers system and all of a sudden they just start performing like that. So, goes to show what some of these players actually can do when they leave the Tigers. Yeah, he's a hold for sure. Hope he comes back next week if you've got him. But, yeah, decent cash to be made there and hopefully gets back into the team.
Yeah, it could be someone like a Kinney to Talau next week or, I don't know, people are running with Tuopiki as well. He might have cash by next week if Chance comes back.
Yeah.
Also really interested to see when I think Jaden Campbell is going to be up ice. So I think people should earmark that as well.
Try yeah,
and
good.
Like 100-ish K free and then go like a Kinney up to Jaden Campbell next week potentially.
Good point. Yeah, now's the time to probably bank a little bit of cash as well, expecting Jaden Campbell to come back. I don't know if I'll pick him up round like his first round back, but definitely got him on the radar for maybe his second game, depending on how his first game goes. But yeah, I think Campbell's probably going to be a player that you must have, especially playing at fullback for the Titans.
Yeah, good work rate. He's got those attacking stats as well. So he's going to be, and he's cheap. Like he's going to,
Seen what correct.
Pappy has done this last week at fullback. Jaden Campbell's probably not in that tier, but has shown that he can get those big scores as well.
Oh, pretty close to it. Like, I think he's probably just the tier below Pappenhausen. Like, he can go pretty big at fullback. Yeah, but also has those, you know, down games where he can only score a 20. I guess that's just what you get when he's playing for the Titans, really.
That's true as well.
Moving to the last game of the round, sees the Knights taking on the Storm. Knights have been pretty poor the last couple of weeks, unfortunately. Jack Cogger has been named at halfback with Hastings moved to the reserves, which is very interesting. Crossland's still named at hooker with Jaden Brayley amongst the bench. And Greg Marju is also out with Jenkins starting on a wing. And Inari Tuala's back as well on the opposite wing.
Tuala as well, yeah.
Wow, Cogger. Interesting play, to be honest. Like, probably a definite pickup in draft because he's a dominant kicking half, especially with Campbell beside him. But in Classic, break even of 67, not one you're getting this week, but definitely watching with interest, right, at 570K.
I think so, yeah. It'll be interesting to see where he kind of bottoms out. If he's getting the role here in the team, he should be doing, you'd assume, a bulk of the kicking meters. We sure we did, you know, in periods last week with the Panthers. Obviously, that's with the Panthers, not the Knights. But, you know, he's still got, like, Kalen Ponga and a fair bit of weaponry around him.
Yeah.
We'll see him, getting some kind of consistent 50s potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely on the watch list for sure. And Dylan Lucas also named amongst the reserves, but Kypius Paul holds that edge spot again. Looked pretty good last week, but obviously didn't get a huge score. But a 40 is still pretty good, and considering he played the full 80 minutes, that was probably the most encouraging thing for me. And Jed Cartwright didn't come on to take his role. So I think O'Brien's probably looking at him as their long-term back rower alongside Frizzell, both getting 80 minutes.
Well, that's a big call. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think Dylan Lucas is going to come back into this team eventually and maybe push Kai Pierce-Paul out even. But I don't know. Like, he could be. He looked strong. He's a big unit. But, yeah, I think he's kind of a wait and see. He's too expensive now, I think, if you've missed the boat with him. Or if you haven't got it by now, he's not one yet. probably looking at because he's, yeah, pretty high up there.
Well, you got Lucas as well, I guess, hanging around, but it's encouraging that he got 80 minutes. That was the surprising thing for me. I just assumed he was going to get, you know, 50 odd minutes with Cartwright taking the other amount of time, but yeah, weird how they did the rotation for sure. And another Elliot, I guess. Draft. Yeah, piss ball for sure for draft.
Adam Elliott saved me a draft this week.
Elliot, yeah. Absolutely monstering it currently, Elliot. I guess like two tries does help. Yeah, 88 with two tries. I guess even round one, he did quite well with a 45 with mainly base stats. If he, you know, tags on a couple of attacking stats, a few tackle busts, he definitely looks like a decent option at lock. But I guess there's so many other options at the moment. Like Terrell May is probably the better one and cheaper as well. So probably not one you're looking at really, unless you've already got him.
I think so, mate. Yeah, you're cheering if you've got him, but you've probably missed the boat with him a bit because, yeah, he had a pretty big price rise last week, 58K. And I think there'll probably be a point where he kind of bottoms out. Yeah, that 88 is definitely the outlier.
Yeah, for sure. And looking at the Storm team, Jerome Hughes is out with Tyron Wishart taking his spot in the halves. Kane Bradley replacing Wishart's bench spot as well. And also Christian Welch is out, I just noticed. So Tepei Moroa joins the bench. Wow, it's such a weird looking team, the Storm team, when you take out Munster and Hughes out of the halves. You don't normally see it like that. Yeah, what do you make of this team currently?
Yeah, that's a pretty good assessment. Just a weird-looking team without the two big dogs there. Be interesting to see who does the kicking out of Pezzett and Wishart. I think they're both decent draft players this week, but it'll be interesting to see how it also affects Pappy's scores and Grant scores and things like that. It could be a kind of dry game for a few of these Melbourne guys against the Knights who probably want to have a big week as well, but you know, put up 20-odd points to the Cowboys last week, so you can probably score on them a little bit. Just be interesting to see what happens. I think Josh Tan is probably another loop this week. I'm probably trying not to start him.
I like how you keep calling him Josh Chan.
Josh Chan?
Mix Josh of Josh Chan. King and Joe Chan.
The ultimate footy player. What about that apple in ball he threw, but... I don't know. Yeah, probably Joe Chan or Josh Chan. I'm looking to just kind of have in my loop spot versus, having him in my 17.
Yeah, fair. One that I was kind of considering was Kane Bradley, but I think he's there surprisingly. I assume they would have put Far Logo on the bench, but I guess they still want to give Bradley a run. Got a run in the trials, but I just don't see him getting tons of minutes. He's probably going to play like the Wishart type. He'll come on for like 5 minutes at the end of the game, most likely.
Yeah, he could just be that ultimate cheat code as well. If he gets named at edge there somehow and is a winger fullback in your team.
Yeah, crazy.
That would just be unreal. But yeah, I think it'll be...
Wishful thinking.
Wishful thinking.
That's for sure. Righto, that's all the team list. So the Dolphins are on the bye this week. I guess before we move on to fan questions, give us your main buy, hold, sells this week.
So I think your top two, you're looking at Galvin and May there. If you didn't get them last week, you should be looking to get them this week. And then probably soon after that, get Lusick and Fini Fuiaki. They're probably the top four for me. Is that in agreement with you, mate?
Yep. Absolutely. I'm definitely looking at Finifuliaki and May as my top two this week. Also really want Lusick, but so hard to get in at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess holds, mate, just the two big dogs, Cleary Hines, not panic on them, not panicking on Harry Grant either. Not panicking on Payne Haas. He had a low score, but was injured last week. He should bounce back this week, still named, which was really nice for coaches. Not for me. I was hoping he would plateau a little bit and my Jermaine Hopgood stocks would look even better, but
didn't pan out that way.
He's injured and still got a 50. I was like, how do you do that? I don't know, but he's a freak.
Yep. And your cells.
I think they're the main home. Oh, the cells. Lukey is gone for me. And then also Sia Wong. They're probably the top two that people have. We've talked a little bit about McInnes. I think he's probably one that's high owned that you could sell to. Who else is injured? Who else am I missing? Zach Hosking.
I mean, Stark and Toa. Hosking, yeah.
Hosking.
Stark, I mean, you can hold Hosking one more week just because you know he's going to make cash, yeah. He's got a break even of 4, so he should make a little bit, but he's going to be a sell in the week, next week or two, most likely.
Jesse Arthur's sell.
Yep. I like that call. Always happy with that call. Righto, any others you want to add to that list?
No, man, I think that covers the main ones.
Yeah, like it. There's also some others, like pod kind of options that I know I have in my team that I'm kind of holding on to, like your Brendan Smith, probably a hold. Jacob Kiraz, I've got, he's a hold. Tupanua, I'm still holding on for dear life. But yeah, it's getting close on a couple of those guys.
Actually, I want you to roast some people here who still have Ezra Mamm in their team, which is 19% of people. And he's come off a 19 and a 6. What are you doing if you are an Ezra Mamm holder?
Break even of 42. You've lost, what, 70K on him already? 60K, something like that?
Yeah.
Disappointing. Very, very disappointing from a fantasy point of view. I guess this week, no Adam Reynolds. He should see a little uptick, but he's playing against the Panthers. I don't see them, you know, conceding tons of points. I know he did score a double against them in the final, but yeah, it's not going to be the same kind of game when you don't have Adam Reynolds playing the other side of you.
I agree, mate.
Yeah,
good
get
to
him
hear
out.
That. Good to hear a Daniel roast.
Tell you what I am doing, though. I'm keeping an eye on him just to see when he, bottoms out, because there is a chance that he, you know, bounces back to, I mean, not even scoring huge, just like 30s again, and that should be enough to get, you know, 100K off him. So, you know, definitely keep an eye on him if you don't have him.
I think that's, yeah, he could bottom out around like 300K, where he then,
yeah,
you think, oh, he was, yeah, at 500K at points last year. So when he hits those spikes, you know, he can be good.
Yeah, well, his first season when he came in, when everyone was buying him, he was getting 40s, I think, mid-40s, maybe a 50 here and there. I can't remember, to be honest. But I remember he was scoring quite well, and he made a ton of cash really quickly.
He was scoring quite well. Helped me win a draft league, I think, that year, Ezra Mamm. So holds a special place in my heart.
Fair.
But yeah.
Keep an eye on him, but yeah. Definitely not a buy at the moment. righto, let's move on to some fan questions. If you have any questions, head to our Instagram page on Tuesday every week. We'll put up a story to ask your questions, which we'll answer on the pod. First question comes from Kalis. Is Satili or Hutchinson a must sell?
No, I don't think
Hutchinson.
So.
It's Hutchinson, isn't it? Yeah.
Hutchinson. I don't know.
Hutchinson, yeah.
I don't think so. I think both of them you can. Hutchinson is probably the one that I'd be looking to sell more desperately. I don't think they're urgent sells. You can maybe give them one more week.
Yep, I agree. Probably one more week for both of them just to see how they pan out. Next question. What are your best cash down mid options? Well, I guess we like May, but he's not really a cash down option, is he?
Yeah, it's hard because he's got, fair bit of, still have to maybe make some coin or like use a decent amount of coin. You might have to trade up to get May at this point.
Mm. I don't mind Mawali this week. The fact that he got a start and because he had a 30 odd last week means that he's probably going to make a little bit of cash, but not confidently saying, like, I'm not saying that with chest at all. He'll make a little bit of cash. Sam Hughes is on the up, so I think Sam Hughes is probably another one that you could pick up in the mids. But there's not a lot under 300K that you'd feel comfortable going to make cash. I don't know. Do you have any other options?
No, it's pretty slim pickings. You probably see if you can play around with some jewels and get to Fini Fuyaki instead.
Yeah,
probably the buy of the forward. pack this week, or I guess Lusick as well. The only one that I'm like kind of keeping an eye on is Joe O. He's 408k. Oh, yep. He got a 41 last week. Could be, you know, he was around like the 650, 700s at points in the last couple of years. Don't think he'll get back up there again, but I know he's shown it before. He's always a chance to do it again.
Yeah, I think it was a late start last week for Para. Like, yeah, he got the start. But I don't think that's probably going to happen regularly. But yeah, he just needs to get, if he gets minutes, yeah, he's a good buy. But I don't see how it's likely with Reg and Paolo in that Parramatta pack.
Yeah. Still didn't play 40 minutes last week, so you probably want to keep weight on Joe.
Yeah, fair. Is it worth selling Ponga?
No, I don't think so. I think it's kind of a rinse and repeat of our analysis, what we said last week. Just hang on to him.
Yep.
I think it'll come good.
Yeah, I mean, the Knights weren't always going to be, you know, a top eight side like they were towards the back end of last year. They've come back a little bit, but I think Ponga's still, yeah, he'll still be a gun winger fullback come end of season.
Gets to play on a beat-up Storm this week as well with no Munster and Hughes.
Yeah, definitely possible.
Yeah, you don't. I think that's a pretty good matchup for him, so he could, yeah, do well.
Yep. Question from Harry, what to do with Flanagan? Well, came back down to earth with a 25 this week. Jeez, break even of 22. Yeah, not great. We did say this. He has a low score in him.
He does.
I mean, he's one more week probably hold. See how it pans out.
I think that's not a bad shout. Yeah, give him another week. But if you can use him to go to a, yeah, like a Marshke or a Vinny Fuyaki somehow, something like that, I'd be fine with doing that too. Like, I think you can probably sell him this week. I don't think he's going to hurt you.
Yeah, fair. Our question from Tino. Is Murray a sell if he plays Edge again this week?
I'd probably be thinking of selling him, yeah, if he's going to be playing Edge long term. But I think it was a one-week thing. There was obviously something with Jacob Hoste because he dropped right out of this team. And now he's back in the starting lineup this week. So I think better days are ahead for Murray owners. And I think, yeah, people should just hold on. He's going to play more lock this week, you'd think. And funnily enough, when he played lock, the Rabbitohs look a lot better. So I think that'll be the trend moving forward.
Yeah, Murray's, yeah, if you've picked him up round one, he's a long-term hold. He'll be up there with Haas, I think, close to towards the end of the season. I think he'll probably average just under 60, a tick under 60 throughout the season, but we'll wait and see.
After the game, hey, we're kind of flipping a coin between some of these guys at the start of the season, like your Cam Murray's, your Haas's, your Hoskins, Hopkins. Like, it could have gone either way, but it's been like a 40-point swing between Murray and Yo, but they're pretty much the same price.
Yeah, crazy.
It's unlucky.
Yep. Next question. Zach Hosking worth a pickup? I think we already kind of covered this off, but yeah, I'll let you
now
go through it.
On the bench, nah, not for me.
Yep. Most likely he'll lose even more minutes when Big Red's back as well next week.
True, yeah.
And tailing question to that is Helam Lukey to who? So who would you trade Helam Lukey to? I think it's pretty straightforward. You'd just go Helam Lukey to Finifuliaki and bank the cash, right?
Yeah, unless you're missing one of these other guys, like if you could get him to May or to Galvin, if you don't have them. But I think that'll be a trade that's pretty popular this week, Lukey to Finifuliaki.
Yep. Yeah, if you can get him up to May. I mean, the train hasn't left yet on May, so yeah, if you can get him in before he tops out over 600k next week, most likely he'll hit 600k by next week. So yeah, get him in this week if you can. What are your thoughts on Totola? Is he still a sell? Did we say he was a sell last week? I think we said he was pretty close to a sell last week.
Yeah, I think
we
did say he was a sell last week. And
yep.
I think he's got a four a week.
Yeah. Went up a bit. Still... I think with Moali in the start, he probably sees a few more minutes this week to Totola and Hoste in the team.
I think he could probably hold him keep seeing what he's going to do. The Rabbitohs have looked pretty bad the first couple of weeks.
Outside of Latrell.
Yeah, they play the Bulldogs round four, even though the Bulldogs have a pretty good pack. Could be a game where Totola kind of hits his straps and this team hits their straps potentially. But yeah, I think if you could only go to May through Totola, for example, I'd be happy to sell him in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah, not a bad shout. Question from Lester. What are our options for Lukey? Is Curran a shout? Haven't really thought too much about Curran, but has scored a couple of 50s from the bench. First round was mainly from injury. Smashed out a 47. And then this round from the bench got a 56, which is very interesting. Getting 60 minutes still. Yeah, not a bad shout.
It's looking good. Getting a lot of minutes in his pack. But I don't know. Part of me thinks you've kind of missed the boat with Curran if you haven't got him. He's like risky with him there on the bench. But he's kind of like, you could probably apply some of this Terrell May analysis to Josh Curran as far as he's like coming off the bench. His PPM's good.
Yeah, but similar. Yeah.
I don't know. He just seems less sturdy of an option to me.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer May over Curran, but Curran's not a bad shout, especially dual position player. Could potentially break into the starting team as well throughout the season. But
yeah,
bit of a risk, I guess, still. Question from Joe. Is Lane to Terrell May sideways? Such a hard call with Lane, isn't it? Both games he's played 80, but he just hasn't hit the stats that you'd normally see from him.
I think it's coming. I think there's a breakout game coming for him, but I am heavily invested in drafts and I'm willing this probably more than it being a thing, but I don't know. I think Terrell May, I think, is pretty close to a must-have. So if the only way you can do it is through Lane, I guess I don't mind that. Just because I think Terrell May's probably got, I don't know, what, like 100-plus K still to make potentially?
Oh, yeah. If he keeps scoring, you know, 60s, even mid-50s, he's probably going to make another 150K. He'll be close to 700.
And he's just got the scores as well that are backing him up at the moment. So
yep.
I think you do that trade if that's the best option for you.
Yeah, fair. Question from Buster. Cotter as captain this week against the Dragons. Who is your favorite captain?
Cotter.
Yeah, so I guess we Cotter. Didn't touch on this when I said you rubbed it in my face, people dropping Cotter at the top of the show. I traded Cotter because I needed a winger fullback. I traded him to Turbo, and obviously that backfired, but I'm still pretty happy that I've got Turbo in my team. Would I captain Cotter this week? Probably not.
Yeah, wise. I agree. But yeah, you look good. I guess that is an important shout that we haven't really discussed. Who are you captaining this week? Hines had a 77. Hopgood had a 78. Cleary got a 58 last week.
Cleary was on for a big score as well pre-halftime. He was on, I think, a 40-odd or a 38 at halftime. And I was like, okay, he's gonna go on to get an 80 here. Because he didn't really have tons of attacking stats at that point either. But he just kind of plateaued out, had a bunch of, I think, not errors, but I think he had a couple of missed tackles that kind of went against him. Four missed tackles in the end. So it's just kind of, he just kind of plateaued, really. Stopped scoring points at some point.
The Sharks play the Tigers is my concern. Could be a really nice week for Nico as well.
Yep. I mean, that's why I captained him last week.
Yeah, the better matchup. The matchup here, Cleary versus the Broncos, doesn't really scare you with no Adam Reynolds. Could have a day out against them as well, to be fair.
Let's have a quick look at his stats here. So Cleary in his last two games against the Broncos has scored a 61 and 106 in his last two.
Grand final as well.
Ooh, I don't know if that includes the grand final, to be honest. It doesn't say. It just says his last three scores. I'd say probably not, because this is just the weekly fantasy scores. Hines against the Tigers. Let's have a quick look. West Tigers, he scored, he's only got one score of 82 against the Tigers. Probably leaning Hines out of the two. Who else would you like to, do you want me to check Hopgood while we're at it?
Yeah, go on, mate.
Against Manly. I know that Manly does score a lot of points when, like when Parramatta and Manly play, there's generally a lot of points in it. Hopgood against Manly, 35 and 81. Jeez, good luck. That 35 was probably when he was off the bench, though, I'd imagine. Not starting. Last season. That's me without having a look at the actual game, but yeah. I don't hate. I think Hines is probably my favourite this week, and then Cleary a close second, just because the Broncos don't have controlling halves. They've got Mam and Madden. Probably going to be a bit unruly.
38-point over-under in that game, and the Panthers are favoured by 10 points. To consider the Sharks are favoured by 12.5 against the Tigers.
Tigers, yeah.
And total points are 45.5.
Wow.
So actually, thinking about that makes me think more Hines.
Yeah.
It's going to be more points.
Probably. Definitely a pot option as well, because, yeah, not as owned as much as well, Hines, which kind of helped me last week, even though you still outscored me last week. I was still pretty happy that I captained Hines because with everyone else captaining Cleary.
Who's better? What's your rank at the moment?
I am at 44.6K.
Oh, so we're neck and neck. I'm 44.7K. So you got me still just in the good bloke stakes, but.
Okay. I'll take that. As long as I'm ahead of you, not, I think, what did we say last week? Top 10K is what we're aiming for? Yeah, I think we just wanted to get back into the top 10K.
Yeah, some pretty average scores, but we'll bring it back.
Yeah, got to make a few trades for sure, unfortunately. Got to definitely deplete those a little bit over the first couple of rounds to fix up my team, but, you know, you have to do it. Righto. Any imparting words, Josh?
No, mate. I think this has been a good episode. We've covered it, so... Yeah, good luck to everyone out there this week, and hope you bring it.